Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, and welcome to Nerd Nuptial, episode 17.
I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And you are going to have a good time tonight. And by you, I mean the girl, and also you as in the audience, because we're talking about something that I believe most people in the world have warm fuzzies in their heart when they think about it. And if you don't, it's because you're cynical and jaded. And...
Wow, well, just put it out there.
I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, that's why the people tune in. That's why they listen, is for the hard truths on Nerd Nuptial. It's not just nerd opinions. It's hard, cold facts.
Oh, really? That's why they tune in?
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. But what we're talking about is growing up with Disney. I feel like so many people can relate to growing up with Disney. I mean, like, even if you had nothing in common with an individual, say you're on a bad date. You know, like, you've already gone through the favorite foods and enlisting your siblings and everything like that. You know, you've gone through all of that. You have no idea what's to come. The entree hasn't even come yet. You know, one thing that you could always go to is, you know, like, hey, you know, what's your favorite Disney movie? Maybe that's why I didn't have a lot of dates.
Maybe. You know, I was going to say, I was just thinking about that.
Did guys not do that with you?
No, not really. No, maybe you did.
Hey. And I snabbed myself a winner.
Oh, well, thank you.
There you go. Someone who grew up on Disney, just like me.
That's right.
And so when we say Disney, you know, like, Disney means so many different things now. Because, you got the theme park. They now own Marvel. They own Miramax, for Pete's sake. And
right.
So many things are technically Disney movies. But when we say it, we're really talking about animated Disney movies.
Yeah.
Like Snow White, Mulan, Cinderella, stuff like
that.
The
stuff that came out when we were kids. Or
and
before.
Well before.
Right.
But before we get into that topic, we have some very exciting news. We have a new sponsor. We have a new sponsor for the show and for the network. But I will let you know who it is later on in the show. But we have some other news too. And that is, I guested on a show on Trek.fm called Literary Treks. It's a great show. Everyone needs to check it out. It's hosted by Matt Rushing. And he and Chris Jones created this show. And it's their outlet for talking about everything that is Trek-related in books and comics and stories and everything like that. And for their 150th, they had me come on and talk about my short story entry into the Strange New Worlds contest.
Pretty cool.
And the Strange New Worlds contest, for those of you listening who don't know, it was a Star Trek fan fiction contest. And I wrote a story and I entered. I did not win. And so some of you might be asking, well, then why on earth did they interview you? Well, they read it. They loved it. And a lot of people liked it.
Liked it.
Well, thank you very much. You helped me write it. And another thing that you helped me do was read it on the show. And so what we did was, like, you and I, as in the girl and Tristan, made an audiobook version of my short story. It was about 31 pages, so it took about 45 minutes to read.
Yeah.
And there's sound effects, there's music. It was just so much fun because I love audiobooks so much. So here's an excerpt of the reading right here. Last's eyes opened, and for a brief moment she forgot where she was. In her mind, she was back in her cell, bolted to the floor, wondering when she was going to eat again, and if she was ever going to see a new color. But instead of the dark, she was in the light. This couldn't be her cell. But as she looked around, it was a cell regardless. She looked up and saw a man sitting there. It was Julian, the man she was looking for in the first place. He was sitting in a chair in the middle of the room. No one else was around him. No security guards, no shapeshifter. As she got up from her cot, she noticed there was nothing between them. No door or glass. She figured it must be another force field. She wondered if these beings would make the same mistake twice. Last reached out to find the invisible barrier. You won't get through it this time,
That's a level 10 force field, Julian uttered as she pulled her hand back quickly.
Why am I in here?
She asked, fully knowing what the answer would be. Why? For starters, you destroyed my sickbay. Not to mention the people you assaulted that now require its services.
This is not what I wanted. That's what I was trying to say before your changeling struck me.
Changeling? Don't you mean God? He couldn't help but notice the disdain in her voice. Whenever he spoke with Jem'Hadar in the past, they always expressed reverence for the founders and never discussed.
He's no god of mine.
So there you have it. We didn't want to give you the whole thing because we want you to go to Literary Treks and find the episode. It's episode 150. It's called Coming to Janeway Moment, which I think is a very clever title, and you'll find out why once you listen to it. And there's a little bit of an interview at the beginning, and then they go into the audiobook that we made. Now, did you have fun doing that with me?
Oh, yeah. It was super fun. We nerded out hard. It was really fun just to like do some voice acting, and it was just a fun time.
That would be a dream come true if you and I could
that'd be so cool.
Do voice acting full-time together. Pretty much anything that we
could do
together.
I was going to say, anything that we could do together, that would be pretty great.
But yeah, so everyone should check it out. And if you don't like it, don't tell me. But if you do like it, send me an email. You can reach me at contact@thenerdparty.com. And make sure to go to our website for all of our latest episodes at thenerdparty.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at @TheInsaneRobin.
Good job.
Thank you very much. I couldn't have done it without you. And one thing that I can't do without you, and I never will do, is this show. So let's talk about our topic.
I don't know. Lee mentioned subbing in for one of us, so on the Senate floor.
Yes, on the
pretty funny.
On the latest filibuster, Lee Hutchison, good friend and host, he mentioned that he was waiting for your phone call for you to call him to replace me in the marriage. That's what he says, and I think he said that just so he could be on this show.
That'd be hilarious.
And then he said that he would snuggle with me and watch Fincher, which I would never cheat on you by snuggling with somebody else and watching Fincher.
Thanks.
As much as I love Lee, I think that's a step too far.
I think so. I think that's too far.
Now maybe
Fincher's
Nolan.
Too sacred to us.
Yeah, maybe Nolan. I might be able to snuggle and watch Nolan with him. But everyone should check out that episode. It's a great show. Like Matt Hansen and Lee Hutchison are great together. But what we're talking about is Disney, growing up with Disney. I am asking you, girl, what are some of your first Disney memories?
Wow. Well, I mean, I was raised on Disney from the get-go. We would own anything that basically came out on VHS, which now looking back on it, probably cost a lot of money because VHSs were not cheap back then. The first movie-going experience I remember was actually my first cinema experience was going to see Beauty and the Beast in the theater. I think actually like a family friend like really wanted to go see the movie and took me with to see it so they had like an excuse to go see a kid movie. And I mean, that was probably the biggest impact to me. Like the earliest memory I have mm-hmm. of watching Disney was probably going to see Beauty and the Beast in theaters. But I mean, we owned so many of the classic episodes that we could, you know, you couldn't have all of them because they weren't out.
Right.
But
they have that stupid vault structure.
Yeah, yeah, which we still deal with.
Which is a genius move if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Because, oh my gosh. Like, one thing that you and I have been trying to do, like, because both of us grew up on Disney and love Disney to this day, and every time they release one from the vault, we have to go run and pick it up because, you know, like we want to have children someday. And so like that's our excuse for spending all this money on primo priced Blu-rays of Disney is we're like, it's for the children.
That's right. It's for the future little Riddles.
But yeah, I think I remember they would make such a big deal of it, like when we were growing up, where it's just like, you know, like Cinderella will go back into the vault in 5 days. You know, yeah. Like they would have huge ad campaigns.
Oh, yeah,
it
was.
And then it was gone. It was just, you couldn't find it in stores anymore.
Or like now it's like the price is jacked up so high because people sell them online.
On
so
eBay and
right,
Amazon.
Right,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. It's funny. Yeah. We were looking for Aladdin one time, like long time ago.
Right.
We were looking for Aladdin on DVD or Blu-ray. And there was one from another country that was region-free that would totally look like a pirate, you know, a piracy situation. And it was $80.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't find it.
Right. So you can charge that much.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. And so even though it irks me, I totally get it. Like, I get their structure.
Yeah. It's actually pretty brilliant.
My first memory, I don't know. It should have been Beauty and the Beast. But I don't remember seeing it in the theater. The first one that I actually remember seeing in the theater is Aladdin.
Mm.
And I can't remember what year that came out. It was definitely after Beauty and the Beast, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And so, you know, like Beauty and the Beast, that came out in... Aladdin came out in 92 and Beauty and the Beast came out in 91. Okay, so Aladdin was the next one after Beauty and the Beast. I remember... in first grade, I think. Like, I remember liking the movie. I just don't remember watching it. Because I begged my parents to buy me a Beauty and the Beast t-shirt. And I loved that t-shirt. And I wore it to school. And I got ruthlessly made fun of.
Aww.
And I was so confused as a little boy.
Because you just loved Beauty and the Beast.
I thought it was an amazing movie. I was like, this is an Academy Award winning movie. I mean, you got Angela Lansbury. You got the first introduction of CGI in an animated film.
See, that might be why you were made fun of, is because when someone was making fun of you, you were like explaining to them why it was an awesome movie at that age, because you never were a child. You were always little Tristan.
So utterly confusing. I was like, how is the Beauty and the Beast girly? It's Disney. You know, it's just whatever. I'm over it. I think I'm healing.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, like, so I remember that. I remember loving Beauty and the Beast, but I think Aladdin is my first theater experience that I remember, because I have this distinct memory of just sitting in the living room and my dad's reading the paper. Now, kids, the paper is... No, I'm not even going to mention it because you guys won't know. But he was reading the paper and all of a sudden he just brings the paper down in that dad fashion and looks over his glasses. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. And he says, he's like, you know what? Let's go see Aladdin again. And all of us are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because we never did that. We never saw movies multiple times. Like, once we saw a movie in the theater, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that was it for a while.
For a while. Until, yeah. Yeah.
And then we're just like.
And movies didn't come out, like, right away on VHS.
No, they did not. It, like, nowadays, you know, like, sometimes it can be a couple of months.
Right. Or you could pre-order it while it's in theaters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's so crazy. And then back then, you're just like. It was so nebulous. You had no idea when it was going to come out. You thought it was going to come out like years from now.
Right.
Maybe that's an exaggeration, but that's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm. And, especially as a kid.
Yeah. And so I remember doing that, like seeing Aladdin multiple times in the theater. Do you remember seeing anything? Like, was there a Disney movie that was just so good that your family was just like, we have to see this?
I think Aladdin was the one that we saw multiple times in the theater as well. Yeah. Especially after Beauty and the Beast. I think that we're like, why didn't we see that again? So I think we went and saw Aladdin twice too.
So I don't want to jump the gun or anything like this, because, you know, this could be a meatier topic that needs to wait until the later episode. But I have to know, what is your favorite Disney animated film?
It's hard. I would have to say probably a tie. Can I do a tie? Is that okay?
Or do I have to choose one? We'll see. It depends on which ones.
It's Beauty and the Beast or Little Mermaid.
I'd have to say that you probably like Little Mermaid more.
You think so?
Yeah.
Based on when we watch it and stuff.
Based on how much you sing. You sing a lot more Little Mermaid than you do Beauty and the Beast.
You make me sound like I'm five.
Well, okay.
Listening to like the Frozen soundtrack. No, you sing a lot more of that song.
No, I think that is something, though. You're joking, but I think that's something. It was there where you feel like a kid again. I mean, like, Disney just has this aura about it that just makes you fall right back into your childhood. And so, like, when we watch Little Mermaid, because, yeah, I'm almost 30, okay? And we're going to watch Little Mermaid. We don't have any kids. I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
All right?
We're
going to watch Little Mermaid because it's awesome, okay?
Exactly.
It's 89 minutes of awesomeness. And... I just, and you'll start singing, hell, I'll start singing, and we're singing that for days, you know, and we just start to think about when we were kids, and I think that's part of the appeal, is because people are more nostalgic than they lead on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Especially with, I mean, it takes you back. It takes you back to that moment of wonder when you first watched it. I mean, I remember, I think one of the reasons why Little Mermaid is important to me is because even as a kid, when she says goodbye to King Triton at the end of the movie, I started like crying as a little child. Like a little tiny kid watching it, because I got it. Like mm-hmm. I understood what she was doing. I understood like the emphasis of that moment, and I mean that just shows you the power of that movie.
I totally get why your dad was holding a gigantic fork at our wedding.
Oh, that makes sense now, right? Oh,
okay, jeez, took 5 years for that to click. Wow. Well, speaking of King Triton, I was terrified of King Triton.
Were you really?
I was.
That's hilarious.
I legit, like when he when he destroyed all of her human knickknacks and everything like that, mm-hmm. he just started like, you know, like
yeah, that's terrible.
Like
that's a terrible
using
moment.
His trident to slice through the statue and just like screaming and destroying things. I would run upstairs.
Oh.
And then I would sit at the top of the stairs and ask my parents, "Is it over?" Then I come back down, and I don't know. I think it was just seeing a dad angry just freaked me out.
My brother was really afraid of the witch in Snow White, like terrified.
Really?
Terrified of the witch. Like when, you know, when she's she has like the apple when she's
oh
like,
when
all,
she's like ugly
yeah,
and old
yeah,
and like long
he,
nose.
He would like freak out.
Okay, I get that.
Moment.
I was
yeah.
thinking like the pretty version or
something. No, no. Yeah, like the sinister version.
She's kind of hot, you know.
Oh, you mean the one when she's like mirror mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to admit, okay. like All when right. I was a wee lad
oh.
and You're I was like, watching that movie. Yeah. And she's like, "Who's the fairest of them all?" And then we see this Snow White Joker. And I'm like,
"You're rooting
what?
For the witch."
It's like, how on earth is she the fair? Like fair maybe because she's paler. but definitely not more beautiful. Yeah.
All right.
That
well,
was me.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, it all started with Snow White in 37, since we're talking about Disney. I mean, you look at some of these titles as you go through, even just mentioning some of these titles, you know exactly the feel, like every single one evokes a different type of feeling. And you just think about like at the beginning of Disney's animated theatrical career, specifically, you got Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in 37, then Pinocchio, then Fantasia, Dumbo, and then Bambi. Boom, right off the bat, just in a matter of 5 years, you have all of these classic movies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, at least that will become classic movies.
Right.
And then you start, you know, you start drifting off a little bit, start getting into the Song of the South in 1946, which no one wants to talk
that
about
when
anymore.
I noticed that, yeah.
And it's not until the 50s. About 9 years later that we get into Cinderella era. And then that's another one. Like, it's so funny because like Bambi, I think was the last one that really impacted people. Cause you have Saludos Amigos, Victory Through Air Power, The Three Caballeros, you know, like no one really watches those anymore. But then once you get to 1950, you have Cinderella, then Alice in Wonderland, then Peter Pan, then Lady and the Tramp, then Sleeping Beauty, 101 Dalmatians, The Sword and the Stone, The Jungle Book, The Aristocrats, Robin Hood, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, The Rescuers, The Fox and the Hound, and then you start kind of getting a little dodgy with Black Cauldron and Great Mouse Detective. But that is a huge...
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Like, so basically from 1950 all the way up to 1973, you have a guaranteed hit and future classic coming out of Disney. That is amazing. 23 years of epic filmmaking and successful filmmaking.
Yeah.
That, I mean, like, people are talking about, you know, talking about how successful Marvel is, which is now coincidentally owned by Disney.
Right.
And, you know, like, and how they're just a powerhouse. I mean, like, talk to me once they get to the 23-year mark.
Right. Yeah. No, it's pretty impressive. It really is. Yeah. So tell me about how, what your impressions are of the early, like, the early, let's go, like, back to Snow White.
Back to Snow White, the early stuff. I'm actually not that big of a fan of the early stuff.
Really?
I know it's apocryphal, or apocryphal, whatever. It's considered wrong. Let's just I'll stop using these big words. It's considered gauche, if you will, to kind of diss on the old ones because they're classic. You know, they're the originals, and everyone loves your originals. And you know, I like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I think it's great. I don't really like Pinocchio.
Oh, I liked it.
I think Fantasia's kind of boring.
Fantasia scared me.
Dumbo was a little bland for my taste. And then Bambi I liked as a child, but I don't think it has good rewatch value as an adult.
Hmm.
So that's kind of how I feel about the originals. What do you think about the originals?
I think I like them more than you.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially since we rewatched them a lot as kids. Fantasia, though, I would not watch.
Why? The hippos scared you?
Yeah, it scared me. No, there was a... Well, no, it was not the hippos. Shut up. It was not the hippos. It was... there was like a moment in Fantasia where there's like bones and like people coming from the dead and stuff like that.
I remember that part.
Yeah, it was really scary to me. So, yeah, I did not like Fantasia.
I think the only thing I really remember are the hippos. And
that was the fun part.
And Mickey, like with the hat.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
The mm-hmm. the Merlin hat, and mm-hmm. then like the brooms were going like crazy.
Yeah.
That's all that
those
I really
are the happy
remember.
Moments. You obviously have not watched the scary moments.
I must have blocked it.
Yeah, you must have. Yeah. Because it was like very scary.
So but you like Pinocchio. What'd you like about Pinocchio?
Yeah, I liked Pinocchio. I like the songs. I think it's fun. Like it's just a fun Jiminy Cricket. Come on.
I don't know. I just, you know what it is? I think it's because my mom didn't like those movies.
Really?
Yeah, she loves Snow White, but she didn't like the other ones.
Oh, interesting.
That's probably why. My mom.
I liked Dumbo even, and yeah, Bambi, yeah. Again, tears. Yeah.
She thought all of those were too sad. She didn't like watching them.
I could see that. Sad. They're definitely more serious in moments, I think, than, you know, yeah. You know, like the moment where they're high in Dumbo.
I don't remember that part. They're making a live-action version of Dumbo.
Oh, really?
Oh, so that's something that we need to talk about. Okay, so there was this period in the
night. Sorry, they weren't high, they were drunk. He was drunk.
Excuse me. So there's this period in the 90s and early 2000s where Disney all of a sudden started making sequels to everything. Like, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Like, straight to DVD, straight to VHS.
We never watched those.
Neither did we.
Really?
Yeah, we never watched them, like, because we knew, like...
We knew they were not going to be as good.
Yeah, even back then, we were just like, oh, they're going straight to DVD? Well, that tells you something. Like, it was just so strange. I was like, we're getting a Cinderella 2? We're getting a Mulan 2? We're getting a Mulan 3? You know, like, this is insane. These movies do not need your sequels.
No,
like,
they
stop
don't.
Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was this long stretch when that happened, and I have never seen a single Disney sequel, except I actually own Mulan 2 because it came in a double pack.
And I still, but you've never seen it?
I never watched it. I never popped it in. I was just like, oh, great, another coaster. Cool. but now... We're in an age where they're doing live action adaptations.
Yeah, it's
of Disney classics.
It's interesting to see how that will transfer, like how that will read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
they did that a little bit. I mean, like we had 101 Dalmatians with Glenn Close.
Oh, that doesn't count.
No?
No.
I thought that was fun. That was fun. That was a good adaptation, I think.
It does count, but it doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
we're in a new age of it. Like that was kind of a one off, but now they're doing this slate where they're just like, okay, we've done this. Now we need to do this. Now we need to do this. And we've seen Maleficent.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a live action adaptation of Sleeping Beauty, kind of. And they did Cinderella
mm-hmm.
with that girl from Downton Abbey, who mm-hmm. we hated from Downton Abbey.
Yeah, we did not like her.
And they just released a teaser trailer for Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
I am.
I'm really excited.
I haven't been excited about any of the other live action ones that's come out so far, but I am excited for
Beauty and the Beast. I'm jazzed. I am like all on board for that.
Like
when it first came out, the announcement about it, I was like, how is that going to happen? But now that I saw the teaser trailer, I am totally on board.
Like Emma Watson,
yeah,
is going to be Belle. I think that's a great choice.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No?
I don't know, because Belle is just such a, like, it's Belle. I don't know. And every girl, I'm sorry, maybe not every girl, but I was definitely one of those girls who was like, oh, I like to read, and, you know, no one understands me. You know, like, you're at that
age.
I
am beautiful. I am so Belle.
Everyone feels that way.
Nobody wants to be Cinderella.
No, she's not, you know, unique enough. She's not misunderstood as much as, well, I guess she's misunderstood in some way, but I don't know. Yeah. It's just different with Belle.
Nobody wants to be, you don't like Sleeping Beauty.
I do not. I do not like Sleeping Beauty.
I think you once called her vapid.
Well, okay, can you look at all the other princesses? And she doesn't have a lot going on. Like, she sings in the woods with her little friends. And, you know, she's got her, like, fairy godmother people, like the fairies.
Fairy godmother people.
Yeah. And, but those are more, those guys are more interesting than she is.
Yeah, it's yes.
She just sleeps there.
I have to give it to you that Sleeping Beauty as a character is not very interesting. But Sleeping Beauty as a movie, I love. I think is great.
Oh, I don't like it.
See, not I was really. Raised on it. It's my mom's favorite.
I think that was the one that we watched the least in our household.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
We own every single edition of Sleeping Beauty ever made. Like, every single VHS that came out, every single release, every single DVD, every single Blu-ray, every single time they made a diamond edition, a special edition, an extra edition, we picked it up.
Yeah, that was like probably my least favorite princess.
Oh my gosh.
Growing up.
That was in 1959. So yeah, live action. And okay, did you know that Ian McKellen and Ewan McGregor are going to be Lumiere and Cogsworth?
It's amazing. I'm just so excited.
How friggin' fantastic is that?
That's brilliant.
Like, that is genius casting.
I can't wait.
And I think the guy who played, what's his name from Downton Abbey? The guy we like, the blonde guy with the blue eyes. Matthew.
Matthew?
He played Matthew. I think he's going to be the Beast.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I could see that.
Bit of an age difference.
Yeah, that is an age difference. But I'm also trying to think of
but whether it's France, just cause... you know? So I think that's cool. They're cool with it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, jeez.
I'm excited because they're using the same music. Like, it's the same music.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen the Cinderella adaptation, so I don't know if they use the same music. Like, did they still have the Cinderella, Cinderella?
I don't think they did. We didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't. No, I didn't see it. Are we missing any other live adaptations? Although, they are going to do The Little Mermaid too. I did hear about that.
Interesting. I wonder how that will.
And I think it's going to be that girl I don't like. I'm talking like my mom here. You know, like the blonde guy with the blue eyes. You know, like, you know, just, you know, the
is her name Chloe?
The redhead I like, you
Chloe,
know, like
that whatever. Kind
of yeah, Chloe Moretz.
Yeah, you for some reason have this like weird hatred for her, that actress, for really no reason.
I am sure she is a fine person. I'm sure she's stellar. I'm sure she's a fierce friend. And I'm sure that she is a philanthropist with her time and money. But for some reason, this can only come from Satan. Where I will see her face and I just get this urge to just hit something, like hit a lamp or like hit the TV. It's weird. Like,
I don't understand it at all.
It's
I don't
irrational.
Get it.
And I
was
going to
say, you haven't even seen her in that much, but for some reason, you just are not a fan.
My brain has made this weird association with her face. I don't know what it is. And I mean it when I say irrational.
I really have no opinion either way about her.
So I might be seething the entire time we're watching Little Mermaid.
Okay.
But we'll find out. But yeah, Beauty and the Beast, I'm jazzed for. So, okay, so let's move on to the next. We talked about the classics. Let's move on to the next batch. So we're skipping from 1942 to 1950. And we got Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, Lady of the Tramp, and Sleeping Beauty. So that takes us through the 50s. What do you think about those?
I love them. I really do.
Is there one you like more than the other?
Name them again?
Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, Lady and the Tramp, and Sleeping Beauty.
Probably Peter Pan.
Are you sure? Because we just watched that not too long ago. And
it's incredibly racist.
It is crazy racist.
Okay.
And Peter Pan is kind of a dick.
He really is, actually. When you watch it as an adult, you're like, he's a jerk. Like, what's wrong?
It's like telling Wendy, shut up, girl.
Yeah, I know.
And like, what makes the red man red? Oh my God.
I know. It would never be written today, that's for sure. As a child, I liked Cinderella and Peter Pan probably the best out of those, for sure.
I think, I don't know. For me, I didn't really dig on Alice in Wonderland.
You know, I think It's interesting because I like Alice in Wonderland, but it doesn't have a lot of rewatch value to me.
Yeah, I remember, like, you directed the play version of Alice in Wonderland a couple of years ago, and we watched the movie just to kind of get in the spirit, you know, just, like, get thinking about it. And I just remember being bored to tears. Like, there was a big, long section, that section, like, on the beach where they're telling the morality tale or the parable or
oyster.
Yeah. I was just like, my God, this is still going on. Like, it's an 80-minute movie that felt like 2.5 hours, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I didn't really dig on that. Lady and the Tramp, I probably have seen just like 3 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
we loved it.
I don't remember that one too.
We loved dog movies in our house, so we watched that one a lot.
So yeah, like Peter Pan, like I remember I really really liked because, you know, it's you're a kid.
There's the idea,
about a boy who flies around with a sword. You
I was
know?
Gonna
that's
say the
cool.
magic pirate ship. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Filled with fantastical elements, it was really great. But yeah, Sleeping Beauty. I think that's
out
just,
of all those,
out of all of them, I think that's a genius movie. I love them. Okay. I love it absolutely. I think the,
I disagree.
I love Prince Philip. I think he's a great prince. I think he's my favorite prince.
Is he?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Because he's dashing and he's a good fighter and his horse is cool.
All right.
But fine, whatever. I don't.
Whatever.
You don't have to like it.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and move on to the '60s. So the '60s, this is really cool. Okay, there was a huge artistic shift once we go from Sleeping Beauty to 101 Dalmatians.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows what I'm talking about because I'm about to list the movies in the 60s. You got 101 Dalmatians, Sword in the Stone, Jungle Book, Aristocrats, and Robin Hood. Oh, that's well into the 70s. But in Robin Hood, you know, like we all know there's a very different aesthetic to these movies than the ones that came before it. And that's because of a new photocopying process that they did where they would draw it, photocopy it. And, you know, they would photocopy these elements so they didn't have to redraw every single element all the time. And because of that process, it gave the edging a darker, jagged kind of feel. And we all can see it in our heads. And that's the reason why, because there's this huge jump from Sleeping Beauty to 101 Dalmatians. And if you don't actually know what I'm talking about, just YouTube a clip from Sleeping Beauty and then go to 101 Dalmatians. It looks like a completely different company made it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting to see how you can see that in each movie too when the ones you listed. Yeah, out of those, we watched 101 Dalmatians a lot in our house,
and we just rewatched that not too long ago. That movie holds up.
It does.
That's good.
It's awesome. It's a great movie. It's just happy. Like it's a happy movie.
Yeah.
And it's just cute. What are some other ones you listed?
Well, we got Sword in the Stone, Jungle Book, Aristocrats, Robin Hood.
Oh, I totally had a crush on Robin Hood. Like the fox.
The fox,
yes.
Are you revealing something about yourself?
Yeah, I had a crush on the fox, Robin Hood.
Okay, I've had my weird crushes. Like, you know, like I've been in love with aliens. You know, I've been in love with non-sentient beings. Not non-sentient, but like non-corporeal beings where they're just like ethereal and everything like that. I'm like, oh, wow, that, you know, that cloud of nebulous vapor is hot. You know, like I've been there, but never so much with a fox because I didn't think Maid Marian was attractive.
Oh, no. It was his personality.
It was personality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't his looks.
Just, he was just like suave.
You didn't fall in love with the hairy snout. It was
his
devil may care attitude.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It's Robin Hood. Exactly. Yeah, I think I really liked Robin Hood. When I look back at it, probably 101 Dalmatians and Robin Hood are probably up there.
Yeah, those two. I mean, for the longest time, Sword in the Stone was my favorite. I loved
I always
got
a little bored with that one.
Yeah, well, here's the thing is that like when I was a kid, I loved anything medieval. I loved medieval history. I loved the Arthurian legend. Anything that I could get about the Round Table and the Sword in the Stone and the Lady of the Lake, I was just all about it. And so I really like this. And I love that there was a wizard battle, you know, at the end.
Yeah,
I thought
that
was really cool. But then going back and watching it as an adult, I was like, ooh, there are long segments that are very boring in this.
Yeah.
So that was one that I loved as a kid but didn't really quite hold up. Jungle Book is another one of those that doesn't really hold up to terribly well, I think.
I love Baloo.
Baloo is great, but there's just, again, long stretches where you're like, oh, wow, I'm bored. Like when they get to the elephants, you're just like, oh, my God, this movie's still going on. But yeah, 101 and Robin Hood. Yeah, I think those definitely hold up
of that section, for sure.
Then I didn't really get into The Rescuers or Fox and the Hound or Black Cauldron or Great Mouse Detective. I didn't really get into those.
We didn't get into those either. We did really like The Fox and the Hound, but it is, again, pretty sad, if I recall. But the other ones we really didn't watch, but maybe once. Those were not family favorites.
Yeah, we didn't own those. Like, yeah, we didn't own those at all.
We didn't either.
I think it's really funny, though, because in the 80s, that's when Disney was really getting some hardcore financial success with their animated films. At least that's what I just read. And I think that's funny that they were really hitting their stride financially, but maybe not necessarily artistically.
Yeah, with like their the classics, as we were talking about with some of the other ones that are kind of known as a classic Disney movie.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so we're going to skip ahead a little bit. You know, we're going to skip ahead all the way past Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Oliver and Company. And
I wasn't allowed to watch that one.
I wasn't either, because I think it was because, was it Jessica Jones? Was that her name? No.
Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit. Oh, Jessica Jones is from Marvel. Jessica Rabbit was too sexy.
She was, yeah. That's the reason why we weren't allowed to watch her.
I still have never seen it.
I haven't either. I kind of feel like I would feel like I'm getting into trouble if I did watch it.
I know, right?
There's so much emphasis not to watch it.
Our moms would be like right behind us, like shaking their fingers.
That's right.
Was there any movies that you promised your mom or your mom and dad that you wouldn't watch?
The Exorcist.
Mine was the same one.
Really?
That was the one movie that I... Oh, wait, no. I promised my sister. I promised my sister I would never see The Exorcist.
Okay.
And I still haven't. And I know like a lot of film geeks listen to this podcast. And I'm sure that they're screaming that I haven't seen The Exorcist. But my mom, my sister made me swear. She said, don't watch this movie. It's not a good movie. It's not good for your brain.
Right. Yeah. And that's the reasoning too.
My mom made me promise never to see Clockwork Orange.
Saw the first 10 minutes of Clockwork Orange and I cannot get those images out of my head. I went home crying. Like, it was in high school and I watched like the first 10 minutes and I like walked out and it was like all my friends were watching it and I called my mom to pick me up.
I remember you telling me that story. Wasn't your boyfriend at the time like a real jerk about it? Like,
yeah, he was really upset. Like, what the hell, all my friends are here watching this. And no, it was, I have the images in my head and they'll never go away. And it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't, you know, even though we love film and I know it's one of those classic ones that you're supposed to watch, don't care.
Nope.
Don't care.
Yeah. Like, my mom made me promise at a young age. And then once I found out what was actually in it and saw like snippets of pictures online, I was just like, oh,
not for us.
I'm not missing anything. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do not want to see that stuff.
Yeah. No, I understand how it probably changed cinema forever, but I saw the first 10 minutes and it made me cry. So, nope. Never going to happen.
We should rent Who Framed Roger Rabbit tonight.
We totally should.
Because I don't think that one will make...
that's the one that probably would scar us the least.
That's the one that would scar us the least. Out of those three, let's watch Roger Rabbit.
I think that sounds like a good plan.
So, moving ahead. Okay, so 1989, Little Mermaid. We've already talked about that.
Oh,
obviously, so this was a game changer.
Ugh, it's amazing.
For the Disney Animation Company. And then right after that, they have DuckTales the movie. This was a fantastic cinematic adventure.
Did you watch the cartoon versions of DuckTales?
You mean the series?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With Launchpad.
And Tailspin and
Tailspin,
all those.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Chip and Dale.
I would like miss things to watch those like religiously as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, those were really important to my childhood.
You and I have actually been looking for them on DVD. So
I know
them.
That they are.
Yeah.
So
you can get them at
DVD.
Costco for like $7 a season.
Yeah. So we need to do that because I want to watch them again.
Oh, like, I wonder if I doubt that they hold up though.
I know.
That's the thing. Like, with these movies, you know, like, you're out 2 hours if it doesn't hold up. But with you have these seasons of television.
I know. But, you know, I think when we do have kids and they want to watch things over and over again, I would rather watch that type of stuff and have that nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
I think that things were a little smarter, too, back then. Like, they made things a little smarter, at least from what I've seen of what, like, is geared towards kids now.
Yeah, today.
Sometimes, yeah.
I hate to sound old.
I know, you are.
And so kids these days. But, yeah, I turn on the TV at a friend's house or something like that, and I just look at what they're watching. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is garbage.
Yeah, it would just be hard to like watch that with your kid.
Yeah, Except those fairy thing that our friends watch, like
the Tinkerbell movies.
It's actually really good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And everybody who has kids, you should check that out. You should check out the Tinkerbell movies, the CGI Tinkerbell movies. They're actually really good.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I like the fact that they're tinkerers, like they tinker with things.
They tinker with things.
She's like a tinkerer. She's like, yeah. She's like fixer.
So yeah, but DuckTales the movie, like, it has a genie and like they go on an archaeological
dig. Oh, I know. I know it very well.
Just like Indiana Jones. And I've been looking for a copy of this movie, and I think you can buy it on Amazon Prime, like Amazon Video, but I can't find a physical copy of it. So if you guys want to send it, if you have one, you want to send it to us, you know, you can email me at contact@thenerdparty.com. Speaking of which, I want to talk about a new partnership that we have with thenerdparty.com. I am super excited about this, girl, because
I just learned about it. You didn't tell me about it.
I never told you about this. Yeah. So many things working behind the scenes. So have you ever heard of Loot Crate?
No.
Well, let me tell you what Loot Crate is. Loot Crate is a subscription service where what it is that they send you a box every single month. And you know, you pay for the box that you get. And in that box is like 68 items of t-shirts, Pop Funkos, pins, license gear, and every box has a theme. So like one could be like a DC comic theme, one could be a Star Wars theme, or one could be a specific video game or something like that. Like and it's just filled with all this really cool stuff, and it is the perfect nerd gift.
That's
like,
cool.
Like if you want to gift it to someone, this, like, I would love it if somebody would gift me a Loot Crate. Because it's basically like walking into Hot Topic and just picking out your best stuff and putting it into putting it into a box, which might be a good thing or bad thing for some people. But it's a monthly subscription. It's filled with geek stuff, gamer stuff, pop culture stuff, and it's less than $20 a month. Less than $20, and you get a whole bunch of really cool stuff. And you have until the 19th of every single month to get the box that you want. Like, you can just do a recurring, or you can just buy the box that you want. And they let you know what the theme is, but they don't let you know what's inside.
Okay.
So it's kind of that cool mystery, you know, like where you're just like, oh, am I going to get this? Am I going to get that? And so I think that adds a lot to it. And so because you're a listener of the Nerd Party Network and Nerd Nuptial, you guys can get some money off. You can get some money off of this subscription. So how cool is that?
That's awesome.
So just go to www.lootcrate.com/nerdparty. Again, that's lootcrate.com/nerdparty. And in the code section, put in nerdparty. Again, lootcrate.com/nerdparty. Use the code nerdparty. They'll know that you sent that we sent you, and you'll save some money by doing it. And there's no risk. There's no like you don't have to be tied in. You can just get the box that you want, and it's really cool, really fun, and it helps out the network.
That's awesome.
So anyway, back to Disney. I'm sure they'll have Disney theme boxes. I'm sure they have.
Yeah,
to, right?
Right. I would think so.
Yeah. So then you have you get into the 90s, and the 90s get kicked off. Oh, with DuckTales kicked off the 90s. and then we have Rescuers Down Under, which I remember liking.
I didn't really like it that much.
I don't remember anything about the Rescuers, but I remember the Rescuers Down Under just because I thought it was cool that they were in Australia. And then that moves on down to, then we have kind of the modern era of Disney, where right off the bat we have Beauty and the Beast in 91, then Aladdin, Nightmare Before Christmas, Lion King, Goofy Movie, which is actually a pretty solid movie, Pocahontas, Toy Story, James and the Giant Peach, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hercules, Mulan, A Bug's Life, Doug's first movie, Tarzan, Toy Story 2, Fantasia 2000, and then those are the 90s. That is a hell of a decade.
Yeah, seriously. Now, okay, are we talking about Pixar at all, or are we just talking about animated?
I don't really
want to... Because I kind of think that we could talk about Pixar all on its own.
Yeah, I think we could. I don't really want to talk about Pixar right now, but there is one thing I want to talk about Pixar, and that's Toy Story.
Okay.
So when Toy Story came out, that was another game changer. That was a whole new level. That was just like Pixar is on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, holy crap, that was a solid film. That was a solid motion picture. That's one of the best motion pictures ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that on VHS. But then when the second one came out in 1999, that's when DVDs started coming out and when DVDs started getting popular. And that the first Disney that we ever bought on DVD was a double pack of Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2. We got it at Sam's Club. I was flipping my lid that we owned a double pack and two little tiny thin little discs that could play movies. And that's the only reason why I bring it up is because I'm such a home media person that was such a huge experience for me.
Sure.
Owning Disney, because like when we own the VHSs, oh, that's one thing. Like the Disney VHSs always came in those plastic clamshell packs.
Yeah, they did.
Like it was never like a paper sleeve.
No.
Like you normally got. No, like
they were intense.
They were big. They took up extra space.
Oh,
they were taller. They were thicker than any other movie on your shelf.
Yeah, we had all, as many as we could get, we had all those clamshell cases of the VHSs, which was pretty awesome.
And you never alphabetized those with your other movies. It was like, okay, you alphabetized your movies.
Here are the Disneys.
And then here are the Disneys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
true.
It's so funny.
I feel like, I'm sure that so many people out there who are listening to this show have that same memory.
Oh yeah.
Like no one was savage enough to mix in their Disney movies with other movies. It just wouldn't look right. It wouldn't be right. And yeah, it's just it's just so funny how a company like that, like I think that's why movies are so popular, and I think that's why movies make so much money, is because it's a cultural entry point for so many different types of people. I don't, you know, like so many people from different walks of life or ethnic backgrounds, racial backgrounds, economic backgrounds. It doesn't matter. I mean, like whether you could have every single Disney movie ever made or you saved up your money so you could buy one,
mm-hmm.
you know, like once a year or once every 6 months or something like that, you remember having those or watching them and with family, and everybody would get the popcorn together. Like we all have that nostalgia. Not everybody has a nostalgia with Star Wars, you know, like not everybody has a nostalgia with Star Trek, but I feel like Disney is a much more common threat.
More universal, I would say.
Why
I mean, there
are
certain
is?
People I think that, you know, didn't necessarily grow up on them, but I don't know. I think it's because it was safe to watch with the family.
Well, I haven't met any one of those.
Oh, okay.
Any one of those type of people. And you know what? I don't want to meet those type of people.
Disney people here.
Why do you think that is? What is that universal aspect of Disney?
I think, like I said, I think it's something that it's like safe to watch, you know, with the family. I think that because it was like family centered movies where, you know, yes, it's for the kids, but I mean, look at us, we are still watching them. So it's one of those things where the stories hold up. And I think that, you know, parents didn't mind watching them with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah, that is a big one because, yeah, so many Disney movies, animated Disney films are safe. Like, you know that there's not going to be anything in there that's questionable.
Right.
There might be a few things here and there that are scary for some people of certain ages, you know, and everything like that. But
right.
It's never, like, outright, like, whoa, that was inappropriate. You know, I don't think that really happened too terribly much.
No.
At least not to my memory. And like you look at the 90s and you're just like, holy crap, these movies are so good. You know, like just and Night Before Christmas, that changed my life.
I wasn't allowed to watch that when it came out.
That literally changed my life. My mom was so utterly excited about that movie. We saw it in the theater.
That's so funny.
And that came out in 94.
My parents
I think.
Thought it would be too scary.
Well, it came out in 93. I could understand why, you know, like why some parents would think that was too scary for the kid. You got to know your kid.
Yeah.
But my mom and my dad, you know, to a lesser extent is macabre. Like she loves death jokes. Like it's just, you know, like it's just, so I was always surrounded by that. You know, like we had Edward Gorey, you know, like, you know, paintings on the wall, you know, like we loved you
that's
know,
why a little
mystery
odd.
On PBS, you know,
I
like,
say, the you're yeah. a little messed up.
That's I am funny. A little off.
Yeah, you're yeah. a little off. Yeah,
I am a little that's off right. sometimes. And like Nightmare Before Christmas was just a symptom of that because, you know, like when that came out, I was obsessed with it. I wanted to know everything I could know about Tim Burton and his style. And this was well before the Hot Topic craze because I feel like Hot Topic was created specifically for the Nightmare Before Christmas 10 years later.
That's so funny.
So strange. But yeah, and then as we move on, we got, you know, Lion King. Again.
Oh, yeah.
That,
amazing.
Another game changer for Disney.
Amazing. There's
a very successful Broadway play based off of this cartoon. I've seen the play. It's just the cartoon. It's a word for word the cartoon.
Well, don't change something that's good.
It's true. I mean, it's a very proven format. I mean, it's, you know, like you have Hamlet the Dane who just comes into the... Oh. Oh, wait.
We all know that.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't drop any truth bombs or anything like that.
No.
Now, then Pocahontas.
We were not as big of fans of Pocahontas.
I have yet to meet.
I love the music.
Yeah, I think the music's great. Oh man, Colors in the Wind?
Of the Wind.
Mm-hmm. Of the Wind, excuse me. Colors of the Wind. I heard that the other day. I started getting a little misty. Like I started, I was like, oh man, that tugs at the heartstrings right there.
Yeah, no, I love the music, but it's one of those where you're like, the story's just okay. It's a little boring in points. And, you know, if you actually know the history behind Pocahontas.
It does not follow the actual history of Pocahontas at all. I mean, in the least.
You don't necessarily need that in a Disney film, but it was one of those things where I just was not really into it.
Yeah, we were kind of the same way. My household was the same way. And I think most people are, because I have yet to meet someone who is a diehard Pocahontas fan. There might be some of them out there. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I just don't think it clicked. I think after you had, you know, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Nightmare Before Christmas, Lion King, and then you come out with Pocahontas, you're just kind of like,
It just didn't, like, maybe hold up to the others.
Yeah, but
for
then,
sure.
Then you follow up with Toy Story and James and the Giant Peach. I didn't really like James and the Giant Peach.
No, I didn't either.
I was kind of disappointed with that one.
It scared me a little bit, too.
And then Hunchback. I'm
even too old for that to scare me, but.
I think Hunchback was, where Pocahontas, where you're just like, didn't really like it. I think Hunchback. I remember walking out of the theater and my family was just like, oh, that was horrible.
Yeah, we did not like Hunchback either. And I think also it's just like, didn't make you feel good like the other Disney movies. I mean, I get it.
You know, it's the story.
The content should not make you feel good. But it was one of those things where it was not what you were expecting to come out of with a Disney movie. You just felt kind of bad afterwards, which, I mean, you should feel bad. But, we did not like that one growing up.
I saw something online. I have no idea if it was real or not, but it was a BuzzFeed article of 25 places in Disney movies you wish were real. I think number 21 was Notre Dame Cathedral.
What?
Yeah.
No, they did not. That makes me really sad.
Does that make you sad?
That makes me really sad.
I feel like it's the same people who made that list were surprised that the Titanic was real.
Oh.
And not just the Leo DiCaprio
movie. That makes
movie.
Me sad.
Right?
Oh, yeah, when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, yeah. That's
I blame you because you're a teacher and you're teaching our youth and they should
really?
Know this.
You're going to blame me for that? Yes. If they don't listen, then there's nothing I can do. And I'm also not a social studies teacher.
And then so after Hunchback, we come up with Hercules. I really like Hercules. What did you think? I don't think you liked Hercules.
I did not like Hercules. Now, watching it again as an adult, I like it more. But I don't know. I didn't really like the animation style of Hercules.
Yeah, I can get that. I get that.
I don't know. And I feel like, to me, I felt like the story was, you know, like, okay, when you walk out of like Lion King or Little Mermaid or Beauty and the Beast, you're just like, oh, that is an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Hercules doesn't do that.
No. I think Hercules is
that
one of those.
That awe factor, you know, that factor of like. Yeah. Wow, I just experienced something awesome that I will never forget and I love. That was not the case with Hercules.
That's a high bar.
It is a high bar.
But Disney set the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
With Hercules, Hercules came out at the exact same time that I was getting obsessed with Greek mythology.
Okay.
So I think that's why I can connect with it.
So you're just like, yes.
Yeah,
awesome.
Like anything with Zeus, Mount Olympus, Hercules. Okay. Hera, anything, even though it did not follow the legend whatsoever.
You just wanted to see that.
I just love seeing
life.
These
yeah,
characters, these beings and everything like that. And I love the music. Like, I can go the distance, you know, like, fun. That's still inspirational, I think. But then, you know, like, we move on to Mulan.
That's a great movie.
This was my favorite, if not still my favorite Disney movie.
Is it really?
Of all time.
That's a great movie.
I love this movie. I love the message. I love the music, I think, is my favorite music out of any Disney film.
Really?
Absolutely. I had the soundtrack, I had the score, everything. I had everything. I listened to it constantly as a young person. And I just loved the idea of a young girl, you know, dressing herself up as a male soldier in order to save her father and then ultimately save her country. And it's based off of a true story.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is badass.
And it had awesome music.
And they're making a live-action adaptation.
Are they really?
There was a foreign one. That's there, cool. I think there was a Chinese movie
okay.
that was based off of the Mulan story. And but yeah, Disney is moving ahead with it with this new surge.
Cool.
And like, you know, like so many people are like, well, do you think they're going to cast an Asian person for Mulan? And I was like, well, gee, I hope so.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be pretty bad if they didn't. It should be.
Like, I just think really? like, you know, like somebody battling the Huns and saving China, and then and it's just this blonde hair, blue eyed
yeah,
girl.
I mean, I think that kind of defeats the purpose a little bit there.
Very much so. But the thing is, with all of this that's been going on with Hollywood right now, it's, I can understand why people are a little gun shy.
Yeah, I get it.
But yeah, Mulan, I think just the message, the positive reinforcement for young girls, the music, the drawing, the comedic effect of Mushu and the cricket.
Yeah,
I think
it's fun.
It's great. I mean, I still quote it to this day in my everyday vernacular.
It's true.
Yeah, you know.
It's, oh, I know. I know.
Like, there's so many times I go like, I live. And then, like, there are people, like, whenever, like, somebody, like, you know, like, exaggerates or lies, I say, you lied to me? I say it just like that. No one knows what the hell I'm quoting or why I'm doing it that way.
No, that's all right.
And I'm quoting Mushu.
That's right. There you go. If they were really cool, they would know.
That's the thing. They would. So then we kind of jump ahead a few movies. We're going to skip the Tigger movie and Dinosaur because nobody wants to talk about those. And I really didn't think that we would do like a list of every single Disney movie. But
it just happened. It's
cool. Just kind of happened where, like, once you get into the 2000s, you have they start releasing more and more, and the quality definitely starts going down in the 2000s. Because listen to this: you have Emperor's New Groove, which is a good movie.
I didn't like that one.
And then you have Recess, Atlantis, Return to Neverland, Lilo and Stitch, Spirited Away, Treasure Planet, Piglet's Big Movie, Brother Bear, Teacher's Pet, Home on the Range, Pooh's Hufflepuff. You know, just like you get in the 2000s, and it's just none of these are good except for Atlantis, Emperor's New Groove, and Lilo and Stitch. I loved Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah, I did too. But I actually didn't really watch it until maybe a few years ago.
Yeah, I had to show it to you.
Yeah. Which I love it. It's great.
So you didn't like Emperor's New Groove?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
no,
man.
No, not really.
That is such an underrated, that is a very non-Disney movie. It's very
unlike
Disney.
Yeah, it doesn't feel Disney.
It does not
feel
like
a Disney
movie.
Yeah. Where does Tarzan fit into that?
Oh, yeah. Where does Tarzan fit into
that? Because I love that movie.
Oh, Tarzan came out in 1999, right after Mulan.
Okay, so right before we're talking about the 2000s.
Yeah,
right
what
now.
Do you think of Tarzan? I thought the music was great.
Oh, my gosh.
Phil Collins? Hell yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I love Jane. I love her as a
Minnie Driver is
yeah,
Jane.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Is perfect. Yeah.
Fantastic. I just think it's fun. Like, it's just a good movie and good music, just fun.
And the animation, I think, bumped it up a notch.
Yeah, it's like a different style, but I liked that style. And I think it still feels Disney, you know? Whereas I kind of feel like even Hercules felt a little, like it didn't, it kind of like, in my mind, it did not feel really Disney.
I get that.
Kind of like Emperor's New Groove. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, once we have the early 2000s, you know, I didn't mention the Pixar films that came out. You know, like Finding Nemo and The Incredibles.
So they obviously put more of their emphasis on those.
I think that's definitely when the switch happened, was in the early 2000s, where they started putting less money into 2D animated films and then started going into 3D animated films. And it's clear. It's absolutely clear once you start listing these off, because then all of a sudden you get to 2006 and you have Cars, Meet the Robinsons, Ratatouille, and WALL-E, Boom, Bing, Bang, Boom. And those are all CGI. And then you have Bolt, Up. And yeah, you start getting less and less and less and less actual animated films and 2D animated films. And then, they go from almost non-existent to non-existent. I mean, like, you have some direct to DVD animated films that are still coming out because you can produce the animation cheaply. And because, like, if you compare Mulan to Mulan 2, there is a huge difference in quality. It's not like there's a big difference between, you know, your
straight to DVD and the original.
They don't have as much time, they didn't get as good of artists and everything like that. And so
voice artists.
Yeah, so I feel like what would you say that Lilo and Stitch
Yeah, I would say Lilo and Stitch.
Lilo and Stitch in 2002 was the last great Disney animated film. Because you did have other ones after that. You had Spirited Away and Treasure Planet and Brother Bear. But I don't think those really captured our attention like Lilo and Stitch did. So yeah, Lilo and Stitch, 2002. We're now in 2016. That's weird, right?
It's very weird. It's very weird. I think it's just the emphasis now is more on the CG. 3D. The CG. And the 3D animation and everything like that, which is nothing wrong with. I mean,
no.
Like we said, we can do a whole podcast on Pixar, and we probably will. That's why we're just talking about the animated right now. We're trying to kind of skirt the line away from the Pixar movies just so that we can talk about them later. But yeah, I mean, I love all the movies that we talked about, and I hope that we... if we haven't already, I hope that we own most of them.
Yeah,
soon.
Yeah. I think we need to go pick up Snow White.
Yeah,
I think
we
that
do.
We're missing
before
that
it
one.
Goes away.
All right, we'll also rent Roger Rabbit tonight. Go on iTunes.
That's right.
See what's what. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. This was a lot of fun. This was way more fun than I thought.
Yeah,
it was going to be like we were struggling to find a topic, and then we're just like, let's talk about Disney, and we're like, okay. And yeah, like we recorded for practically an hour, and I feel like we could go even further if we wanted to.
Yeah,
and
I kind of want to do a rewatch now of all our Disney movies.
There's so much history and so many good times, and one last thing before we go. So I was talking with a coworker one time about Enchanted.
Oh, yeah.
And,
that's a fun movie.
You know, that's a live action. That's a mix of 2D animation and live action, but mainly live action. And I was just talking about how it's such a great movie.
It's such a fun movie.
It's
so fun.
So good. And I said, I was like, you need to check it out. And she's like, yeah, I probably won't. She was just straight up honest with me. I was like, oh, do you not like the people in it? Or like, did I not describe it well enough? She's like, I don't have children, so why would I want to watch it?
It makes me sad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, really? Really? Like, because you don't have children, that means you can't enjoy a
remember
movie geared
what it was
towards
like.
Children?
Yeah. Like, when you watched it for the first time, or, I mean, not necessarily that one, but yeah, it's fun. It's just fun to watch kids' movies.
It is fun to watch kids' movies, especially movies that you watch when you were a kid. And, like, you know, granted, Enchanted isn't that.
No,
but it's still a good movie. It didn't make me angry. It made me sad because I'm just like, you're missing out on a lot of good times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. We love you guys. And if you could please remember to subscribe. And if you could take the time, please, we know you're out there. If you could take the time and go on iTunes and write us a review, we would greatly appreciate
it. Yes, please.
If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the podcast, and we'll give each other hugs because it makes us feel good.
That's right.
And just remember to go to thenerdparty.com for all of our other shows. We have The Senate Floor, a General Geek podcast, and we also have Aggressive Negotiations, a Star Wars podcast. And, of course, this one. And we also have a blog. And if you want to read that story that I mentioned earlier, you can go to our website. It's on there. And also, you can email us at contact@thenerdparty.com. And remember, guys, sign up for Loot Crate. And it's just so cool. It's so much fun. Go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty. Enter in the code nerdparty. You'll save some money and no risk. And you'll get a lot of cool geek stuff. So until then, I just have one thing to say. I love you.
I know.